Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, I'd like to pick up right where we left off yesterday, and we've been looking at the fourth chapter of the book of Zechariah, Zechariah's fifth vision of the golden candlestick, and the word of the Lord to him when he was asking. He didn't understand what it meant, the significance, and the angel of the Lord said this was the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, who was the civil leader at that time, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that's God's word to us today, beloved. There's nothing that we can do, nothing of any significance eternally, nothing of any weight or substance, unless it is the spirit of the Lord inspiring and a bringing it to pass. Zerubbabel was going to see that what was going to be accomplished in terms of building the temple was totally due to the Spirit of God. And we know Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. You can't do anything without me. And so that principle, that understanding that it is not our effort, God requires our submission, our willingness, but the work is done through Him. Now, let's read verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. The obstacles which hindered the building of God's purposes, this temple, would only be removed by the Holy Spirit through grace. And this is so true in our day, beloved. God has given grace. We are in a season, a time of grace, and God's Spirit is going to remove those hindrances. Zerubbabel was informed ahead of time that he would encounter difficulties. Isn't that, he said, this is the word, not by might nor by power. Verse 7 says, Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Mountains were basically obstacles. Obstacles as big as mountains, but the Lord would smooth them out like plains. And the top stone, or the headstone, if you will, was the stone of chief importance in the new temple, in that it completed and unified all the rest of the building. Let me share the Living Bible translation of this verse. And Zerubbabel will finish this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace alone, or with mighty shouts, how beautiful it is, or the Lord bless it. Praise God. Now, in verse 9, let me read that. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Zerubbabel would have the privilege to see the completion of the temple in all its splendor, even though the people were passing through a day of small things, or small beginnings, if you will. And this verse is giving much needed encouragement to the doubtful in that day. It didn't look like much. Some remembered what the former tabernacle had looked like. Verse 10, For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Praise God. And if that word was ministered by the Holy Spirit to give encouragement to them, beloved, we can see it apply to our lives today. That sometimes we feel so small and we feel so insignificant, and we may have a vision or things we want to see accomplished for the Lord in our lives, and yet it seems we've made so little progress. It seemed that the completion of that vision, that godly desire, is so far away, so long in coming. But you know what, beloved? You are not responsible for the results. God has a time, He has a season, and what you're responsible for right now is to be obedient and to be faithful. And many times, the Lord prolongs the fulfillment of the vision for His purposes. He wants you to grow in godliness, in wisdom, and in the stature of Jesus. We see that all throughout the Word. Look at the life of Abraham. He was what? Almost 100 years old when he had Isaac. Look at Moses. He had tried to be a deliverer for his people, who killed the Egyptian, and then he was 40 years on the backside of the desert before God had fully equipped him to be the man and the deliverer to see his people set free from Egyptian bondage. So, beloved, you're not responsible for the result. I just encourage you to hold fast. Don't give up. The work of the enemy is to try to discourage you that things aren't ever going to change, that you're just going to be stuck in this place where you are and you don't see any way out. Well, that's a lie, because if you belong to the Lord, if you surrendered your life to Him, if He truly is Lord in your life, then He will perfect that which concerns you. I believe that with everything in my heart and soul. Now, the Living Bible of that verse 9 says, "Do not despise this small beginning, for the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. For these seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that see everywhere around the world." Praise God. The Revised Standard says, "For whosoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel." Of course, the King James says, "For who hath despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with these seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Now, verse 10 that talks about the plummet, that is basically a plumb line, a builder's tool, and it was used to measure and to check the vertical line of a structure. The tool was basically a small lead cone fastened by a cord to a cylindrical piece of wood that was the same diameter as the cone. The wood cylinder was placed against the wall at the top, and if the wall was straight, the lead cone at the end of the line should barely touch the wall. So what do we see? We see this plumb line, if you will, is a symbol of God's actions, the work of the Holy Spirit, testing man's lives, testing the heart, testing the reins and the heart to see where we really are at. At one point it says in the Word that God allowed those trials in the wilderness to see what was in their heart, referring to the people of Israel. In Isaiah 28 and 17, the New International Version, the Word says, "I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line." So it is a symbol of the justice of God in judgment that is always true and always accurate. God's standard, there is no varying from that. He alone is right in His dealings, in His judgments. And now let's look at verse 14. It talks about those olive trees, and you might say, what's that all about? Well, it does identify them as two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, many scholars would readily identify that these two olive trees, speaking of the context and the contemporary application, was Zerubbabel, who was the civil governor and Joshua the priest, which represent the temporal and spiritual government, if you will. And of course, that speaks to us because Revelation talks about the blood of Jesus. He has redeemed us to God by his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto our God. That is our twofold status and role, if you will. And of course, also, there are references to the book of Revelation, the two witnesses, and as we see with the Word of God, sometimes there are multiple understandings or symbolism, if you will. I mean, it has a literal historical application. It can speak about the future. I mean, that was the past in terms of Zerubbabel and Joshua, the temporal and spiritual government. There's the future reference to the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, which many feel are Elijah and Enoch. Those two never died. They were transported to heaven and never tasted physical death. Of course, we know those witnesses will prophesy and do signs and wonders for three and a half years, and then they will be killed, and God will miraculously raise them up before the eyes of the world, and they will ascend to their God and to heaven. But also, I believe we can utilize this passage of Scripture to apply it to our lives today, that God has two witnesses in the earth today. And literally, that means sons of oil. They're filled with oil. The lampstand represents not the Lord, but the testimony of the temple and its people to him. God has called his people Israel as a witness. That's what he had done in the Old Covenant. And he was providing leadership which was obedient, responsible, and active. They were to be missionaries to the world. Just as the candlestick gave light to the tabernacle, so the nation of Israel was to be a light bearer. Well, we understand that they did not pick up that responsibility at this point in time. They will at a future date. But we want to look at the spiritual significance for us today. And I would like to share with you as we go, perhaps with the Lord's help, concluding this tomorrow, that the candlestick is the body of Christ. So we will have to reserve that for tomorrow. I do invite you to tune in. Thank you for joining me today. And if you have prayer needs, don't hesitate. Drop me a note, email, or a brief letter, and I'll share with you and send back a word of encouragement that will be personally significant to your heart. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in charge of this correspondence as well as broadcast ministry. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,